The meeting of the Wilmer Municipal Utilities Commission to order on this Monday, June 12th, 2017. And Mr. Scott, are you there?
I am. Good morning.
Good morning. Here, and you have attendance marked down, okay?
Yes, sir. Thank you.
All right, then I'll look for approval of the consent agenda. Any additions or corrections, subtractions to the agenda?
Madam Chair, the consent agenda, Beth pushed out a revised or an updated one this morning. But if you had notes on the agenda that you had, you may want to wait with overwriting it because your notes will disappear. What was added to that agenda was a storm damage update.
Everybody got the updated one? Okay, and our minutes from our May 22nd meeting, and then as well as payment of our bills in the amount of $936,489.41. And any questions on that? Otherwise, John, I'll just let you address a little bit on that.
There's two payments on the list of bills. One on page six is Cornell Eichler Agency.
Elker.
Elker Agency, $259,556. That's an annual payment, Denise, an annual premium for liability, general liability. And there's one more on page nine, which is Midwest Mechanical Solutions, $72,000. That is payment for cooling tower rebuild, cell number five. So that project has been completed as well, and John Folkerdahl will touch on that on his update.
Boy, there wasn't anything really out of the ordinary. I thought there was a couple a little bit bigger ones, but when it got down to the bottom, it was all within line, so. I would look for a resolution to approve the consent agenda.
I'll offer a resolution for approval.
Second?
Second.
Okay, further discussion on anything on this approval?
Do I allow to vote on this one since I was out for the approval of the?
Yeah, because especially since it's a financial piece.
Financial.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Okay, hearing none, roll call, please.
Certainly. Commissioner Magnuson?
Aye.
Palmer?
Aye.
Mattern?
Aye.
Mabou?
Aye.
Weber?
Aye.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Next item on our agenda today is the Labor Committee meeting minutes. And we were called to order on May 30th at 12 noon. The agenda item basically was discuss personnel issues related to the discontinuation of the district heating system. And it's our as follows. In light of the commission's approval to discontinue the district heating system effective July 1, 2020, General Manager Heron informed the Labor Committee that issues related to personnel affected by this operational change need to be addressed. And Mr. Heron presented an overview of issues for consideration. One factor that is critical is the need for retention of qualified staff throughout the decommissioning process. General Manager Heron informed the committee that staff has been in contact with Labor Attorney Mr. Madden to assist in providing insight to address the labor issues forthcoming. Mr. Heron provided background information focusing on possible options for consideration to assist in the transitional process. He also has been in contact with Dan Kiefer with the union to make sure that they're kept aware of what the process is and how to address the related issues. And the Director of Finance, Rungy, prepared four different models, and we did have a discussion on that, the different kinds, and this addresses, the discussion addresses severance pay and how we're going to handle that. If we're going to go with that, that will still need approval all the way through the system. But whether we should, and in light of the fact that we don't want staff to stay until we get the decommissioning done of the district heat. The The Labor Committee directed staff to do additional research and to schedule another Labor Committee meeting in the near future to review the findings. And Mr. Heron will also contact Attorney Madden to further assist in the development of the transition process. There being no further business, the Labor Committee adjourned at 1:12 p.m. And I make the motion that we accept the Labor Committee meeting minutes. Second?
I'll second that.
Seconds made. Further discussion? I know that there's been more information being put together and some discussion with the city as well regarding this as we go forward. So as we know more about that, we will let you know that as well.
And the four models that you said you guys discussed, is there any model that you guys favored or more to us?
There was four different options that we did, and there was one that we favored a little bit more than the others, and you know, looked at different amounts as to what it would cost us with the different models, and then anything else, you know, if there was insurance or that type of thing with it, but nothing that that we were comfortable with, that we wanted a little bit more information than that we would make a, you know, motion to present to the commission as accepting. Anything else, Ross or Nate? Okay, all in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Motion carries. Pull the same sign as what I was going to say. Just do a blank there. Okay, thank you very much. And then we'll go to the storm damage. Hopefully no one had too much around here, but John, I'll let you take care of that. Or John?
Sure. We added that to the agenda, being that the incident occurred yesterday. As staff, we had not had a chance to do a debriefing yet, which we will in the near future here to talk about what worked well and where we could improve on our processes. But nevertheless, we did incur some damage, and I asked both our line distribution supervisor, Todd Greaves, as well as our power plant supervisor, John Focadal, to touch on the damages that we sustained in those areas of our operation. So with that, Madam Chair, if you don't mind, I'll turn it over to Todd to lead the discussion on the distribution system.
Thank you. Once again, I'm Todd, the line distribution supervisor, Todd Graves, and the call came in about, you know, probably 7 o'clock that we had some damage to some power outages. The line crew was dispersed out. County Road 5, we lost about 10 poles. So we did some switching around in that and got everyone back on. GRE had a lot of damage down on the transmission line west of St. John's Lake and that, so we opened the transmission switch that ties us with them and got the 69 back on. The guys are replacing the poles today. There is up on 15th Avenue and County Road 5, there's also Charter and Zayo that go across 15th Avenue. So we got those two poles set yesterday, cleaned the rest of the stuff up so they could get their Charter hung up across the road and that, so we could open that road up. So, and they're just working on the rest of it today. And most of the people were back on, like Boss Park area. About 8:50, we got power back on them, and there is a couple houses here and there, but considering the storm that came through, we got by really lucky with, you know, most of it got five. We had 10 poles, but it could have been scattered about the whole system. So, well, that's about all I have. So if you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer on that.
Well, just want to thank you and your staff for getting out there and getting it taken care of. And I assume when you say 8:50, you meant it's 8:50 a.m.
Yes.
Yep,
yes.
So it wasn't very long. Keeps our reliability numbers really doing good then as well. Any other comments from anybody here? It's interesting, you got the Charter up right away. You got to have that TV,
yeah,
don't you?
They were blocking the road, so rather than having that road blocked all night, we just figured, well, we might as well get that stuff up.
Yeah. Good job. Thank you very much. Next on the item, on the agenda, the March and April 2017 financial reports. And Denise, if you would take that, please.
Madam Chair.
Sorry.
Do you care for an update from our supervisor, John Focadal?
Did I miss something in here?
No, we didn't have a line item on. There's just number three, says store damage update. We got damage over at the plant as well.
Sorry.
No problem. I'm perfectly willing to.
Just let it go.
Yeah, the power plant lightning strike apparently killed a Polar 3 control panel at that same time at 7:03, actually, exactly. And so the fireman that was running the boiler had no way to control the boiler, and there wasn't anything else to do except cut off the fuel and let it go. And so that was a relatively rapid and uncontrolled way to shut down the boiler. So for safety purposes, we left it off and inspected it today after it cooled and made sure there wasn't any internal damage. Did a hydro test, actually. It tested good up to 800 pounds pressure. So we'll be firing it up tonight, warming it up, and putting it back online tomorrow morning. Other than that, we just had those two windows. I sent out some photos. We had some apparently hail smashed a couple of windows. Those are already repaired. I got my crack window repair crew on that, and they got it taken care of. We also had a coal pit was flooded, but that's now pumped out, and coal handlers in the process of cleaning it up right now. So pretty minor stuff, actually, as it turned out, just a couple of delays as far as getting the boiler back online.
Again, thank you and your staff for on that area as well, handling it. Just a question. I noticed that you've put the fence, I know it's probably been up there for a little while, but the fence alongside there, that really looks good there. Did you do that? I don't want to say just for the fun of it. There was a reason behind it. Was it for safety or aesthetically or?
That was originally part of the Pacific Avenue larger project and included the sand filter pit and the environmental controls. However, we put that on indefinite hold. We retained the fence portion of that project essentially for pedestrian and bicycle traffic control. We have a lot of people that come through there on foot or on bicycle, and you know, really it's been an accident waiting to happen because they have no, for the most part, you know, they dodge the front end loader as it's hauling coal and that sort of thing. So that they completed that fence last Friday, late last Friday, so it hasn't been up long.
Okay.
We're going to remove the concrete barriers within the next day or two and just begin to use it so that we can, for our own vehicles, the utility vehicles can use it to access Pacific Avenue from 7th Street.
Okay. Well, I know since I live on the north side, I've been tempted a couple times to zip across there again, but thought I best not, so now I can't for sure. But it does look good, too, I think. It does, shuts it off. So thank you. Okay, since I was jumping the gun there a little bit, we'll go to you, Denise, please.
Thank you. As you'll see in your packet, it includes both March and April. March is in there for your review. We'll just take a look at the April, which incorporates all of the March numbers. Looking at the electric division, month to date, we're at a profit of $694,752. Year to date through April, $1.639 million. Looking at water division, monthly we had a $68,000 profit. Year to date, $200,000 profit. Heating division, for the month of April, $41,000 profit. Year to date, $266,248. Looking at our combined financial statement, you'll see our monthly margins, $805,000. Year to date, we're at $2.1 million. We're about $704,000 ahead of last year through the month of April. Part of that is our energy acquisition charge of $361,838. The other portion of that, if you look at the very first operating expense line of production operation for the month, there's a loss of or a credit of $53,137. The reason for that, it was just good timing. We used up all of our coal pile when we shut the plant down for refurbishing in April. And so we cleared everything out of that account, and it happened to be that we had overestimated the coal that was burned due to some differences with the weight scale and that kind of thing. So I ended up zeroing that out, which was about a $200,000 adjusted credit, which leaves a credit in that balance. And that 210-514-16 makes up a large portion between those two of the difference over last year on our margins. Is there any questions on the financial statements specifically?
Anybody have any questions at this time? Okay. Hearing none. Do we need to make a, I cannot remember. We don't need to make a motion to accept those, do we? Okay. Thanks for the nod. Yeah. And then we'll go on to the power supply. Michelle, please.
Yes, thank you. Good afternoon. On the power supply comparison page between April 2016 and 2017, you will see that April's power supply cost was $43.15 per megawatt hour, which is a 3.1% increase from last year. The transmission costs in 2017 were $34,938.27 higher than in 2016. Boiler 3 also came down on April 10th for its annual overhaul, and that came back online on May 25th. So looking right below it, the budget versus actual bar graph, April's actuals were 15.9% above the budget for April. And then taking a look at the next page, the real-time LMP averages in April were $23.68, which is $9.02 higher than 2016. The day-ahead LMPs were $23.03, which is $7.28 higher than last year also. Gas prices in April were at $4.09 a decatherm. May was also at $4.09 a decatherm, and June is at $4.19 a decatherm. Any questions?
I think that's the way the prices are going to go a little higher now, because of, does that have to do with contracting and inflation in there, or what? I mean, not inflation, but
it's market prices. Contract. So, it's whatever the market is doing.
Okay.
All of our contracts are set.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Any questions for Michelle from anyone? Hearing none, thank you very much, Michelle. And then let's just talk about Public Power Week coming up, John.
Here. In your packets, you have a resolution identifying our 2017 Public Power Week and in appreciation of Wilmer Municipal Utilities, our hometown electric provider. And do you want me to read the resolution or not?
No, I don't.
In summary, the resolution recognizes Wilmer Municipal as the electric provider for the utility, also designating October 1st through the 7th as Public Power Week. That is in line with the APPA week designating public power, and also identifying October 3rd as a date when we will be having our Customer Appreciation Day. So.
And have you made any definite plans as to what you're going to be doing for that? Are you doing the meal or that type of thing again this year, or it's still up in the air?
Still up in the air. I don't believe we have firm
plans for it
yet. I don't know, Stacy, do you know if Mary? Yeah, no. We have the place reservations made, but that's probably the extent of it yet that we have firmed out.
Okay. I look for a motion to accept the resolution. Public Power Week.
The board. So.
Okay. Zach's made the resolution. A second?
Second.
Second. Any further discussion?
Yeah, my question is, Madam Chair, is what will be, is there any educational materials for the consumers for that specific from October 1st to the 7th? Just, is there any material developed for that, or what do you usually do?
For the open house, we have a number of different promotional items. We also have some educational items, both for the electric and on the water side. Mm-hmm. We have both our linemen and our water operators, both man a booth there, promoting safety, promoting water conservation, promoting electric conservation. We also have an energy service booth usually set up there as well.
So nothing in-house that materials given to the customers that they work in to the building or anything like that, right?
We have material on those items on energy efficiency and things of that nature there, both for the electric and water that we hand out. Yeah, there's information there.
Yeah. No, my question was, I know that you're going to have that week on the public power that was that that facility that's located in the high school, is that correct? For that whole week. Is that how it goes, or is it only one day?
No, it's just one day.
Oh, just one day?
Just one day.
One event.
Yeah, that afternoon we usually have the open house. We have a meal. I'm not sure what the meal will consist of, but we'll have a meal. We'll advertise that. That'll be in the paper, on the radio. I don't know, do we do a bill stuff or two? Or is it on our bill, printed on our bill usually? Informing our customers of our open house and the meal and the handouts that we have and the information that's available.
Okay. Well, that's good, but I was wondering if possible, since we call the whole week from the first.
Oh, do we have something every day?
Yeah, something going on to really kind of educate most consumers, especially immigrants. You know, they don't really have no idea what's going on.
Sure.
You know, especially the.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, we can look at that. That's a good suggestion. We can look at seeing if we can do some kind of promotion of some kind, radio, paper, or, you know, whatever, every day.
Yeah.
I think you just got to volunteer to help.
Oh, sure. Yeah. I'll be glad to help.
Yeah. We'll look at that, Commissioner Mabu, and see if we can do something, have something in the paper, have something going on each day.
Each
day. Okay.
Yeah. Thanks.
Roll call, Beth, please.
Commissioner Lahmer?
Aye.
Mattern?
Aye.
Mabu?
Aye.
Weber?
Aye.
Magnuson?
Aye.
Thank you.
Okay. And then next we'll go to, as we've been doing the educational topic, and John, I guess you're up on that one today, huh?
Okay, yeah, this is an update. Primarily focused on our recent overhaul, which took place April 10th through May 25th. We had intended a slightly shorter outage, but we did have a delay from one of our contractors, specifically the contractor that installed the new splash fill in cell 5 of the cooling tower for turbine 3. So we didn't have any problems finding a little bit more work to do for those last couple of weeks. Our production from our various generation facilities, I've just isolated this time through January through May of this year and compared it to the same time period of last year. So you can see that our total electricity production this year was almost 13 million kilowatt hours compared to 10.6 over the same time period last year. We sent 44 million pounds of steam to district heat in the first 5 months this year compared to 38 million last year. So far through May this year, we've consumed 14,000 tons of coal. Again, that's compared to 12,000 last year. And we didn't really burn any gas with the coal for during the winter this year. We didn't need to because it was good coal. So we only burned 15 million cubic feet of natural gas compared to 31 million last year. And as far as maintenance goes at the power plant, of course, we did the overhaul. I'll kind of go through that a little bit, hit some highlights in a minute. The diesel generators, pretty similar to last year through the same time period, 35 megawatt hours versus 34 last year. Again, we only run those to exercise them, make sure everything is in good condition once a month. The fuel consumption was just about the same, 2,683 gallons so far this year. As far as maintenance for the diesel gensets, we have monthly, we have a third-party inspector come in every month, check everything out, and then we have Ziegler Caterpillar come in annually and do some required maintenance services that is mandated by our warranty contract. This year, I anticipate it'll be basically just fluid changes. The wind turbines, you can see that they were just slightly less than last year over the same time period, 33.37 versus 34.60. The average availability was almost identical to last year, and so we can write that slight difference off to a little bit less wind over that same time period. As you're aware, last fall we were unable to obtain a contractor to come up and do our annual maintenance. It got pushed off until this April, so we're kind of reversed where we used to do semi-annual in the spring and annual in the fall. Because we had to miss that one, now we did our annual in April, and we are scheduled for October semi-annual maintenance on the wind turbines. And we've got the fence along 7th Street already. The next page is the Gantt chart that I use for overhaul every year. Normally these items are scattered left to right depending on what day they started and finished, but for ease of reading, I just line them all up basically on the start date of the 14th of May, April. And we just go through the same process every year. We have the jurisdictional inspections that's required by the state. He comes in usually in March if we shut down in April. And then we shut down, and as preparation for the work that we do over the overhaul period, we usually try to schedule our hearing tests and air filter gas mask fit tests. Right before we begin the overhaul work to make sure that everybody's good to go. That's basically just a lot of normal repairs, things like that. You can just see down the list. It's everything from the pull bucket elevators to the spur repair on the railroad track that delivers our coal. We kind of taught ourselves to do that this year to save some dollars and be able to do it in a timely fashion. That worked out really well. The railroad actually helped us do that. We finished up the freight elevator enclosure that was required by code. So that's finally, some years later, complete and inspected. The rest of it is kind of basic stuff. We had the number three stack repaired, as you can see on one of the photos on the following page. That was beginning to show some corrosion at the base of the stack, and so I had a welder come in and replace that bottom ring of steel. You can see the welded joint about 10 feet up. I just could not risk the possibility that the stack could tip over. You can also see photos of the cell 5 splash fill replacement that's in that photo is nearly complete. That stuff is actually, that those repairs worked out very well. There used to be a shower to stand anywhere close to the sides of that cooling tower, because we leaked so much water out because everything was in such bad shape. Now there's scarcely a drop that comes out. So those seem to be very functional and in very good condition now. the back wall of boiler 3, just an example. Every year we blast clean it. We have blasters come in and loosen everything up, and then we hand scrape all those tubes. This valve replacement is just an example. Again, StarTech came in and did the jurisdictional inspection. That was one of their requirements. This valve was not quite holding closed. It was leaking a little bit of water through it, so we have to cut it out, send it to Allied Valve, have them repair it, bring it back in and reinstall it. So those are just some examples of the kind of things that we do during overhaul. It's all good now. Back online, everything seems to be running well. If I had to give my honest opinion, I'd say that that power plant is probably in better shape than it has been for quite a long time. So if anybody has any questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
It's just when you do this annual maintenance like that, and I'm just assuming that there's kind of a walk around that to observe these things more often than just about the annual maintenance.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. The keeps a running tally of all the things that are going to be need to be repaired during overhaul throughout the year. You know, we repair what we can while we're running, but there's a lot of repairs that you can't do while the power plant's online. And if they're severe enough, you know, we have to shut down and fix them during the year occasionally, but normally they're not, so we can just save them up for April and improve through them.
Do the more major ones. Okay, well, thank you very much. Any questions from anyone? Otherwise, again, thank you for the job and for the report. The public hearings, I'll let you talk to address that, John, please.
Thank the you, other Chair. John. Commissioner Lamar and myself attended the council meeting last Monday, provided an update on the status of the district heating system. The council adopted two resolutions that the commission adopted, and they acknowledged them, and they set the public hearing for June 19th for both meetings. Also on the agenda was a request for consideration to waiving the mechanical permit fee. That has come up a number of times through our meetings with our customers, and in those meetings, as was indicated both by the city and the commission, that staff does not have the ability to waive those fees, so they asked that we bring it to the council for consideration, and the council felt that they would be setting a precedent if they waived those fees, and they said that the commission is, you know, more than welcome to consider paying those fees for our customers. So with that said, I turn it back over to Madam Chair, for discussion whether that's something we want to consider or not.
Well, as you said, the city doesn't see that they would do that waiving of it. I think that would probably hold true for us if we start doing this. We set a precedence then going down the road. Any thoughts from anybody else?
What are those fees? Can you explain to me a little bit in depth?
Sure. I'll let John do it a little bit. Sure. I asked him the same question a little earlier.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The fees for the residential customers are $31 per customer. $30 the city keeps, 1% goes to the state. What that is, if a homeowner or customers, if they were to put in a furnace, they would have to go to the city, pull a permit, and the city will then stop out when the project is done and do an inspection to make sure that this unit was installed per building code. Same thing on the commercial side. That fee structure is a little bit different. That is 1% of project cost and a $90 minimum, and as well the state gets a certain percentage of that, and depending on the boiler size, the state may have to do an inspection as well. So the fee basically covers the city's time to issue a permit and go out and do a physical inspection of the project.
And usually for commercial, is it that way for residential too, that whoever installing it, like the contractors, are usually the ones that go and get that, they go and get the permit, and then the customer, you know, they're reimbursed from the customer then.
Yeah, I'm sure customers approach it differently, but yeah, a lot of customers include the permit, or a lot of vendors include the permit in their project costs and obtain that. But if they don't, then it's for the customer, homeowner, business owner to reach out to the city and acquire that permit. So.
Any thoughts?
Thank you, ma'am. John, were you hearing more from the customers or from the contractors on this issue? Or was it really?
Probably more the contractor side.
The fees don't seem like they're that extravagant. Do you know why they were even seeking this at all?
I believe so. From what I understand, which came out after the meeting, some contractors were not all obtaining the fees they were installing, or not obtaining a permit. Some contractors were installing without permits, and it's the contractor's goal to be on the same level playing field that if one contractor's getting to permits, having the inspection done, that the others are as well, so that they're competing equitably on their permits or on their proposals, their contracts. That, I believe, is the driver behind the questions on whether, you know, the fees can be waived or not waived. And
do you believe that the council is aware of that?
Can't answer that. There is a process set up so that in that meeting, the outcome of that meeting, there was some discussion about developing a process so that every installation will have a permit one way or another. We agreed, the utility staff here, we agreed to keep the city updated on the installations that are converted, and the building inspector will compare our list that we send over there against the permits pulled, and if there's an install where there is no permit, they will follow up with the contractor. So, trying to keep it all equitable.
So is this fee waiver now specifically for the district heat?
District heat customers.
Okay.
Yeah.
And at that meeting, I know that, you know, the city council didn't discuss it very much. They just said that, you know, they weren't up to waiving it. They, you know, some of, and John spoke and said that he was representing customers in his and the contractors in bringing it forward to ask about it.
The request has been made both by the contractors and the customers, but it's the contractors asking oftener and continue to, you know, ask if that fee can be waived. So,
again, it's for our information, unless there's further discussion that we would feel it. Yeah, again, it's an informational thing, and we concur with the city council, and nothing else that needs to be done.
Can we waive, though, this, can our body waive these fees for specifically for the district heat only, or we don't have that authority?
Mm-hmm. Madam Chair, Commissioner Mabu, we, as a utility commission, if we waive the fee for the customer, we're not waiving the fee for the city. We would be responsible to the city for these fees.
So we have to pay?
We got to pay the city, yeah. If we elect to cover it for the customer, that would be, you know, the motion that would have to be entertained, that we as Wilmer Municipal Utilities would pay that fee for the customer to the city. The city, as Madam Chair indicated, there was no desire to waive that fee for the customer. In fact, it didn't even make it to the council session. It was just discussed at the work session, and they didn't feel that it was appropriate and that there would be a precedent set. So, and they referred it back over to the commission.
Okay. Just want to make sure that everybody's okay with that there. Again, because that we would concur with what's going on with the city saying that, you know, that we don't want to set a precedent by doing anything with that.
And then we, you know, since we're disconnecting the district heat, isn't this is something that you know, the decision comes from us, though, not, it wasn't the choice of the client. Is that correct?
That's true. But being fiscally responsible for our public utilities, I mean, because we've been, you know, we've been losing money on the district heating, and we'd lose even more if we were paying this fee. So, yeah, you're right, we are imposing it, but it is due to the financial aspect of it. Okay, thank you, John.
Thank you.
Then we'll go on to the general manager's report, please.
Couple meetings coming up. First one on there has to do with power plant and staffing, with our opportunities for our power plant staffing. And we are working with the city. Hopefully we can arrange for a meeting this week here to reach out to the city, see what kind of opportunity is there. We've also sent correspondence to our congressional, U.S. congressional delegation regarding the potential sale or discussion of the sale of our hydro, federal hydropower system. And as of last Friday, there's 21 senators that signed on. There's 34 states that are affected by the hydro system. Both APPA and NRECA, which is equivalent to APPA, only on the co-op side of it, it's National Electric Cooperatives Association, they all sent letters to the Energy Secretary Perry expressing opposition to the proposal. And like I said, as of Friday, 24 senators sent letters over. So hopefully we can head that off. Other than that, we have two planning committee meetings coming up, one June 22nd, one June 30th. The one on June 30th, Vinnie Hart with Corolla Engineering, our water treatment plant engineering firm, will be in town. We have a meeting set up with the city to talk about our treatment plant and the salty discharge. And being that Vinnie is in town, we would like to meet with the planning committee as well and provide an update to the planning committee of where we are at on that project. So other than that, unless there's questions on the general manager's report, I will yield it back to Madam Chair.
Just one question, will you have the board-driven performance evaluation coming up? Let me ask about
that. Okay.
That's
an APPA webinar based, okay. That's a topic,
okay,
for that.
Well, I see, I'm sorry. I guess I got it, having been at the city council meeting and they were talking about Ike's evaluation, that was in my mind there, that it is a new webinar, so that would be a good one to attend, I think, for us.
And with that, they're all listed, and you know, if anyone are any one of the topics are of interest, by all means, let Beth know. We have them, you know, if you want lunch, they usually start at 1 o'clock, no, 12 o'clock, no. Yeah, usually about 1 o'clock they start, and you know, Beth will arrange for lunch for you if you want to have lunch while you're listening to the webinar. I know Commissioner Weber, Commissioner Magnuson both attended a number of the last ones here. Not Commissioner Weber, Commissioner DeBleek and Commissioner Magnuson. They've attended a number of them here this spring. So, yeah, let us know and we'll have lunch. I'm waiting.
Okay. Is there anything else to be brought before the commission today? Hearing nothing, I look for a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Motion carries. Meeting adjourned.
Thank you. Enjoy the heat this week.
Good timing.